We are never as free as we are when we reach back into the past and forgive someone who caused us hurt and pain. Forgiveness is a free act. No one can be forced to forgive. No one can truly forgive out of duty. Often people will tell me that they have been hurt so badly that they cannot forgive. They are right about one thing. They can't forgive. I believe that genuine forgiveness is a work of God in a believer's life. The power to forgive comes from God and God alone. I've also noticed that there is a correlation between love and forgiveness. As God's love comes into the heart of the believer, it enables the believer to forgive someone else. You see, real love values others. David Augsburger said, "Look at that unforgivable man again. He is a man, the highest unit of value in the universe. He is a man for whom Christ died. And no man is too low to be an object of God's love. No man is excluded from the forgiveness of God except as he excludes himself by his own unrepentance. No man is unlovable. If God loves him, then God can love him through me." Ralph Luther said, "To love one's enemy does not mean to love the mire in which the pearl lies, but to love the pearl that lies in the mire." The only way we can keep the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, is to keep the first and great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Then you will find the strength in him to love your neighbor. Men everywhere have adopted some principles of life. Notice what some of the major religions of the world teach. Confucius said, "What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others." Zoroaster said, "That nature alone is good which refrains from doing unto another whatever is not good for itself." Hinduism teaches, "This is the sum of duty. Do not unto others which would cause you pain if done to you." Buddha said, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Some Jewish rabbis have said, "What is hateful to yourself, do to no other. That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary." Another man said, "What thou avoidest suffering thyself, seek not to impose on others." Socrates says, "Do not do to others what would anger you if done to you by others." And Jesus said, "Treat other people exactly as you would like to be treated by them." Did you notice in these statements that all of the statements are the same but one? All of the words except the words of Jesus are negative statements. They say, "Don't do to others." Jesus' words were positive. He said, "Do unto others." Jesus does not command us not to do, but positively speaking, we are to do the thoughtful, considerate, and loving thing. This is what real love is all about. David Augsburger said that Christ then applied the golden rule in the most important areas of life. In love, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. In forgiveness, we are to forgive our brothers as we wish to be forgiven by God. In service, we are to do to others as we would like for them to do to us. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Notice also another thought. Let's talk about freedom and forgiveness. We are never as free as we are when we reach back into the past and forgive someone who caused us hurt and pain. Forgiveness is a free act. No one can be forced to forgive. No one can truly forgive out of duty. Only a saved person, one freed from sin, can forgive another person. Forgiveness is fundamental to every other good feeling in life. Forgiveness cleanses the very foundation of our being where everything else rests. Forgiveness is a feeling of being totally accepted, totally loved, and totally received. Forgiveness frees me from bondage, bondage to a person and an event in the unchangeable past. Only a free person can choose to live with an uneven score. Only free people can choose to start over with someone who has deeply hurt them. Only a free person can live with accounts unsettled. Only a free person can heal the memory of hurt and hate. Only a free person can forgive. What sin are we forgiven? Is the next question I might ask. John Murray points out that the sin we forgive is not the sin against God, as only he can forgive that. but we are forgiving those who have injured us. Naturally, all sin, even sins against us, are actually and ultimately sins against God. It is never sufficient to ask men alone to forgive us. God must forgive sin against himself, and we do not forgive sin, but only as it's injurious to ourselves. And that brings us to another question. Are we really innocent ourselves? Let's look at our offender and ourselves in light of what we said in the parable of the unmerciful servant, where a man was forgiven, and yet he would not forgive people who owed him debts. With a little time and insight, we may begin to see ourselves and others in a humble profile. We're not really as innocent as we feel we are. We usually do not have a monster to forgive, only a weak and needy fellow human being. And when you see yourself and your offender sharing the same weak humanity, it will make the miracle of forgiveness a little easier. We are all too seldom victims who were merely sinned against. Sometimes, I must admit, I've set myself up for hurt. I've contributed my being ripped off by leaping before looking. Maybe if you're really honest, you'll have to admit that maybe you did contribute something to your spouse's infidelity or your child's rebellion. We are seldom a completely innocent party. It's like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, who was brought by the religious leaders to Jesus. Jesus said, "He who is without sin may cast the first stone." And slowly the accusers walked away. If we really see ourselves as sinners in need of forgiveness, it will be much more difficult to judge other people harshly. General James Oglethorpe told John Wesley, "I never forgive." Wesley replied, "Then I hope, sir, you never sin." He who loves God must also love his neighbor. We're not really innocent ourselves. And what does it mean to refuse to forgive? When I refuse to forgive, I've actually chosen vengeance. I have taken the situation into my own hands. The refusal to forgive is personal vengeance against my brother. You see, it's a very subtle kind of vengeance. I haven't hurt my brother physically or wished anything bad upon him, but in reality, I've withheld from my brother the very thing he needs. Revenge might bring temporary satisfaction, but it would not wash away the hatred that festers in the wound and actually prevents recovery. A Chinese proverb says, "One who pursues revenge should dig two graves." Someone else said, "Doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging one makes you but even with him. Forgiving sets you above him." Doug Easterday said, "Unforgiveness will bring your spiritual life to a halt, but forgiveness is the greatest weight loss program known to man. Want to lose some spiritual weight? If you forgive, you will immediately sense the heavy weight of unforgiveness lifting." I recently read the saga of the revenge of two brothers, John and Sam Matar, as the story was told in Time magazine. Apparently, it all started when John sent Sam a comic birthday card. On John's birthday, Sam made up his own birthday card and sent it to John. The text of the card contained 25 jabs at John's old age. The next year, John made up a birthday card for Sam that contained 50 jabs at Sam's belly. On John's birthday, Sam sent two women in bikinis to John's office to sing the birthday song. John, never to be outdone, sent two belly dancers to Sam's office on Sam's next birthday. After that, it was a plane dropping pamphlets announcing to the entire town that John had a birthday. Then John sent a high school band playing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow" and an elephant over to John's house. Sam then sent John a 4,000-pound pet rock. John then had 10 tons of pebbles delivered into Sam's driveway with this note: "The pet rock had babies." The last that Time magazine heard, Sam had 4,000 pounds of manure dumped on John's lawn for his birthday with this note: "The baby rocks weren't housebroken." I'm not sure if this is revenge or good-natured fun. However, it has escalated the point that hurt feelings may result. Remember the words of Scripture. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my friends. Revenge is doing evil to another because he's done evil to you. It's a subtle perversion of the golden rule: do unto others before they do unto you.